Blog Talk Radio.
Today, I hope everybody is having a great day. I hope we are making the best of every day that we are given. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, Blog Talk. Welcome. You know I do both shows at the same time. We have Blog Talk, and I'm going to give you that number in case somebody wants to call in on Blog Talk. And that number is 563-999-3682. If you want to call in and you don't want to be seen, then you can do that also. Welcome, 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 you guys. I am really interested in this show. I've heard a lot about this special guest that I'm expecting. I've heard a lot about his school. You know, too often we as black folk, we want to complain about what white folk are doing, right? Okay. Today we plan to give you some results. We plan to give you other ways of educating our children. Okay, we talk about how our children aren't learning. We talk about how they have suppressed our children. We talk about how they have failed our children and complain about the educational system in America. Okay, this is your opportunity. Okay, we're going to give you some other ways of educating your children, and it's pretty much taking them out of their schools, because you know whoever's educating your children, you know they are the ones that's pouring in their idolatry into your children, and they are pouring in who they're not and who they are, and our children are coming out all crazy, and we wonder why. We got to look back at the education and what kind of education they're getting. Who educates our babies? No more excuses, okay? We see how the school system has failed our children, right? And it's on purpose, right? We all know that they do what they do, and it's all on purpose. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to continue allowing our enemies, and that's what they are, enemies. I know some people call them friends, frenemy, enemies. Okay, but we all know what they do and who they are. And if you don't, you should. And if you don't, shame on you. Because I've seen the examples. I've seen what they've done. I've seen how they can, destroy, okay? We've seen how the school system here has failed our children, right? Okay? Now you know they're going to be required to take something that I don't agree with, and I'm sure a lot of other parents don't agree with, right? So what's going to be our option? Our option should be to either homeschool or virtual learning, right, for our children, right? Okay, people say, well, I have to work. Okay, there are programs out there, you know, and I even came up with a program, well, okay, hire some grandmas. Let's hire some grandmas and help us to, for the ones that have to work that's not working, you know, a lot of parents are going to go virtually. You know that, right? Okay, who's going to watch your babies while you're at home, they're at home, and they're being educated? Who's going to watch your babies, making sure they get on the computers, making sure that they are keeping up? Hire grandmas. Pay a person that you trust, and I say grandma because that's who I would hire. I would pay my mom, or I'd pay my neighbor. If she's not working, she's sitting up to watch the stories all day, okay, come on over here and help me out a little bit. Pay them, you know, $60, $70, $80 a week, you know, to watch your bad baby. No, I'm kidding. To watch our babies while they learn, okay? Incoming. Hold on, you guys. Oh, man, I'm trying to see. I want us to be able to I want us to be able to make wise decisions, right? I want us to be able to make decisions that's going to help us to succeed. And if we say we're tired of a certain if we say we're tired, if we say that we want to do something different, then how are we going to do that if we don't step out in group economics and create our own? And I think we need to create our own everything. You know that, right? I think we need to create our own schools, our own hospitals. I know that Tariq Nasheed is doing this museum, right? Okay. I do believe that we can use a museum. We can also use a clinic. We can also use, a lot of people died of COVID, okay, going to these different hospitals, and these were opportunities for them not to treat us. These were their opportunities to do what they needed to do or wanted to do or were able to do and get away with it, okay? But we have to get to a point where we are not trusting our enemies, okay? We have to get to a point where we are holding them true. Okay, we have to get to a point where we know what we're dealing with. Okay, understand, and I don't think we know who we're dealing with. I think we still continue to call enemies friends, and that's the sad part. We've been dealing with them long enough to understand that no, they don't like you. They never have. They never will, and it's okay. But we have to accept that. We have to get to the point where we're not just allowing anything. That we're not allowing them to treat us any kind of way. We're just accepting it because we feel that we have to. No, we don't have to. We work every day. We can group economics. We can group economics, and we can do what we know how to do and to support our own. And if we don't know how to do that, we need to learn because now is the time for us to do that. Because, you know, as everything is being set up now where Biden is setting up these Mexicans or immigrants, okay, who aren't even citizens to be over you. And you've been citizens. We've been here for, what, over 400 or 500 years? We've been here. We've been doing what we need to do, okay? And they still won't give you reparations. They still won't do anything to help you. They still won't do anything for you. They still refuse to give you, they're giving everybody else money but us. They've given us a holiday. I don't need a holiday. A holiday don't pay my bills. A holiday does nothing for me, okay? Give me reparations. Give me the check. Cut the check, okay? And we're begging them to do what for us? But then yet they come to you and they ask you for a vote. They ask you to do something for them, and what do? We agree, right? We do it with no problem. Why is it that we keep appeasing them, but then when it's time for them to appease us or time for them to scratch our back, because we scratch yours, you scratch, that's what benign neglect. That's what they're doing. They're ignoring black people, okay? It's time for us to get our needs met. It's time for us to get to the point where we're getting something out the deal. Because for a long time, we've got nothing. And we keep running out to the voting table because they ask you to or because they say, come vote for me. Help me stay in office. Okay, your response should be, okay, what are you doing for me? If I come and vote for you, if I do for you, what are you going to do for me? And if the word is, well, we'll talk about that when we get in office, not at, that's not, no, nope, that's not, no, 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 that, nope, uh-uh, that's not going to happen, okay? So what you can do is you can cut the check. You can do something for me. If I'm doing something for you, what are you going to do for me? That should be your first question. And if they hee-hawing around, like I think with Stacey Abrams, she was on, I seen something on Facebook where she was asking you to, she was asking us to give her our vote, right? And one young man said, well, I'm a felon. I want to be able to vote for you. How can I work that out, or what do I need to do? And she said, oh, we'll talk about that later. Or she told, I mean, she pushed him off and told him something and, you know, and went on talking about her, you know, us voting for her. But he needed something from her. But she never answered. She, you know, kind of evaded the question, and she went on, you know, dealing with her stuff and talking about what her needs was. But he told her what his needs was, but it wasn't important. You have to understand that your needs is not as important as them getting in that house, because they're not going to do nothing for you. They already showed you that. So we have to understand now that it's up to us to make a difference, okay? If we want to see change, group economics, we have to make that change and come together, bring our finances together, because I remember that one group 19 people that bought those 100 acres of land, and they're building, okay, they're building schools, hospitals, they're building. Okay, we need more of those. We need more people with money to come together and say, okay, we're going to do something together. We're going to do this group economics thing. We're going to build our own hospital. Tariq Nasheed, I really wish that he would do a clinic or a hospital, or he can do a small little clinic for now, you know, to take x-rays or ultrasounds, have like a prenatal unit there, a drug unit, mental illness unit. And these are just the basics, okay, a clinic. It don't even have to be a hospital. It could be a clinic. Okay, come in and you know, use your insurance. And this is our first clinic. We can do this together. We can do group economics and do this ourselves, right? We don't have to wait for other people. We don't have to wait for our enemies to tell us it's okay, or our enemies to give us money. We work every day. You've proven yourselves, black folks, of how much money you're worth, because I see what we did for Popeyes, okay, when he had a chicken sandwich. I see what we did, okay? You see what we did. Came together, we made it happen for Popeyes, didn't we? When we came together for Nike, when that young man knelt on a knee and we backed Nike for him, we saw how we spiked Nike's stock market into millions, right? We can do that for ourselves. We can do that for ourselves. And I do see that our guest is here. I appreciate our guest for coming, and we are going to invite him on right now. And we are adding him to the stream, and I am going to do it right now. Hello. How are you? Welcome to the show. You're muted right now. There you go. I can hear you now. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I've been kind of improvising until you got here. Welcome. I'm glad you could come. How are you doing today?
I am gracious. Can you give me 1 minute?
I can.
Sorry about that. I know my time is
a lot. Don't worry about it. We good. You do what you got to do. I can improvise for a minute. Go ahead and do what you got to do. I appreciate you coming. Family, we have an amazing guest today, and we've been waiting for this young man. I am so pleased that he has honored me with his presence. I am so appreciative of him even just to come and give us a shout out, because he has an amazing school, and I want to give us a chance. I want us to come together and see other avenues of a way for us to educate our children. We talk about how white folks not doing a good job. We talk about how we've entrusted them with our children, and halftime now they can't read. We see where they're graduating them, and they can't even read a first or second grade level. Something's wrong with that picture. That's not how our children should be. We should be able to trust somebody with our children, and we have a good result. The results that I'm seeing is failing schools. I'm seeing that our children are failing. I'm seeing that our children are not graduating. They're not graduating on time. They're not keeping up with their math. They're not being taught how to invest. They're not being taught their culture. They're not being taught heritage. They're not being taught a code of behavior. So we have a mess. When you allow your enemies to educate your children, look at the results that we have. We have them being taught LGBT, how to masturbate, and all this other crazy stuff. Why does our children need to be taught this? This is crazy. You don't have the Germans teaching the Jews babies, do you? But we have our enemies teaching our babies, which is crazy. It is time for black people to do something different. And this is our opportunity. We have a young man that has a black school. And we say, oh, why black? Well, why not? They have white schools, don't they? We have to understand that they never wanted to integrate with us. So why would they teach your babies who they really are? Why would they teach your babies how to be strong and how to be, and why would they teach your children that they are amazing and they're great people? That's not what they're teaching our children. That's not at all. Our children come to tell them we want to be doctors. They'll tell you, oh, no, you don't need to be a doctor. You can be a dog catcher. I don't know. You can't be a doctor. It's not known. Back in the day, they used to say it's not known for, you know, black men to be doctors. Okay, well, this is what I want to be. Help me to be that. Welcome, Isaac. As you come in, I want you to like and share. As you come in, like and share. Welcome, welcome, family. And I want us to understand what we're up against. When our young, Mr. Q, when you're ready, you just come on, and I want you to introduce yourself. Okay. Well, you come on in, and I want you to introduce this amazing school. Welcome, welcome, welcome again. I appreciate you just embracing me with your presence. And I want us to give our black family another way of doing education. I want us to give them a reason. Why do I want to send my child to a black school? Why do I want to send my child to you? Help us. I'm going to give you the floor, and maybe later if they want to ask questions, they can. But I want to give you the opportunity to tell us, to convince us that you are the man. That I want to trust my baby with you. We've trusted with white folks since forever, right? Why do I want to change all of this? We've been doing this one way for so long. Why do I want to trust you? So you take the floor.
Well, peace and black power.
Yes.
Trust for me, I don't really like to use the word trust.
Okay.
I would say, first and foremost, this is about you and your position with your child,
mm-hmm.
and me and my position with the community.
Yeah.
Your responsibility to make sure your child is educated and competing and able to have a capacity to be able to, you know, sustain themselves, take care of their family, continue or further your family legacy. That's your responsibility. I don't see how any other community can help any black person individually with that concept, you know. So that's where I come in as a community leader. I'm not the only person that developed the institute, so I wouldn't tell you that you have to get to mine only, but I would say it should be in your best interest as a black person to find a black institute. Now, while my institution, you can choose mine, we have remote education, this is our third year full-time, we have children all over the country, we're STEM-centered, African-based, indigenous-based. Anybody wants to play the indigenous and aboriginal game, we cover both sides of the coin. And why I say it's STEM-based is because that is the leading industry in every industry. It doesn't matter what choice you make in industry, STEM leads it. So if you think cosmetology, those who are in the STEM aspects of cosmetology make more money than those who do hair. If you look at cars, people who design cars make more money than people who just sell cars. So STEM engineering goes into everything. The top businesses, the top jobs, the top whatever you want to do, the top stocks to invest in right now is almost all STEM-based. And so having our children be introduced to STEM in an efficient and proper way, you know, not just them saying, like, we're going to shove coding down your – or just say coding, you don't even know what coding means.
Right.
And so that's what I've been finding going on with that. So we when we say African-centered, black-centered, and indigenous-centered, we teach from a melanated black, African, indigenous perspective. It's our story that we need to figure out. Part of the reason I think there's so many the disconnect between many different parts of the diaspora, people in the Americas, different parts, because we don't really have our own core curriculum for our history. And so you have people in California learning a piece of Black history versus New York learning a piece of Black history. There's people in Ghana learning a piece of Black history. There's people in Jamaica. And the information is not being shared,
right,
scrutinized together, and organized to tell our story.
Right.
And it's very challenging to hear people say, like, I don't come from Africa, because they know, I know my family's history, and it's like 400 years worth of history. And then you have somebody who denies a Native history because they don't have any understanding of what it was to be a Native or the Black culture that existed prior to European invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this whole story kind of mixed up, and my job as an educator is to try to take this story that we've been presented, scrutinize it, and come up with our story for social studies, but at the same time, push Black history, African-centered history, Indigenous history in every subject. So literally this week, I have to come up with 27 writing prompts or 30 writing prompts that are all like Black-centered in any way. If there's a zombie apocalypse, what are your plans to help Black people?
Yeah.
You know, if you get, you know, like whatever the title is, it is, it has to be like all Black-centered.
Yeah.
And that's just some of the concept of there. And then where our curriculum is aligned with the New York City and California core curriculum. And before I go into that, I am a fan of the core curriculum. If anybody who went to college, they'll tell you that the core curriculum is what they've been using in college for who knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
English 101 is English 101 in California. English 101 is English 101 in New York. It's the same class. So it just makes for effective communication between
okay.
different districts and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And so for somebody like myself, it really helps out because understanding the core curriculum, it doesn't really matter what district your child is in.
Right.
I know pretty much this is what's required for a third grader, this is what's required for a fifth grader, seventh grader, so on and so forth.
Okay.
And with that being said, New York City and California's core curriculum is pretty much the standard for the country. New York City's compulsory laws has influenced, and so compulsory laws are the age in which your child has to be in school and the standard to which your child has to be educated and the capacity to which they're expected to perform at. And so New York City and California are like the leading examples for the country. And so using their curriculum has made it easier for me to be able to say, like, we can use this and apply it to everybody around the country. With that, we have an AP college overtone with, you know, because in New York we use a Regents,
mm-hmm.
and most other places it's equivalent to the AP level curriculum.
Okay.
And I prefer AP level because it aligns with college courses a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And so we introduced AP level classes and Regents level classes as early as possible, like second and third grade and whatever, especially for social studies.
Exactly.
From there, I would go into suggesting how we're portfolio based. And even if I go there, so we're not a school.
Okay.
We're an education service provider.
Okay.
And it's exactly the same thing as a school,
mm-hmm.
but we're not a school.
Okay.
And by legal, like just legalese, saying a school means that you are at something. And by not saying you're a school, you're saying you're something else.
Okay.
And I'd rather just say I'm something else because when you say you're a school, for example, in New York, do you have to adhere to the discriminatory clauses set
yeah.
forth by the federal government
yeah.
that includes, you know, all the rainbow coalitions and everybody else? And ain't nobody got time for that.
Thank you.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then, or you have to adhere to the vaccination clause.
Right.
So, and in New York, they removed the religious exemption. So once you say school, you have to require vaccination.
Okay.
And
okay.
so I just skip over that part by not saying I'm school.
Okay.
Let's see. We're in our third year. You know, it's our third
yeah.
full-time year.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
We expected almost 250 kids this year, you know, almost by September. That's the goal.
Uh-huh.
And so we're, I think we're floating around 170 right now. I don't know. Parents, if you're watching this, get your paperwork in. I'll be waiting for the last minute.
You know we do.
You know, waiting for the last minute. And I think that's the program in a nutshell. Now, you know, this is me. I eat, sleep, and breathe it. So any parent involved in the program, my job is also to educate them as much as possible about the process and the reasons for homeschooling. And in each state, the laws are completely different, and the way the money is allocated to a homeschool child, the way the responsibilities are directed to the parents, oftentimes parents are seeking accreditation. accredited homeschool programs, and accreditation typically is different in every state.
Right.
And so you want to just be mindful of that. You know, what it means to be accredited in New York is totally different than what it is in Florida.
Okay.
I just read in Pennsylvania, like I can show this, Pennsylvania has a, you can file for your own accreditation as a regular person with no problem.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
California, you have complete different rules. Like parents can give their own diploma in California and Pennsylvania. In New York, parents can't do that. So there's a lot of different loopholes and ways to which you can get your child to the next level. And that's what it's about, getting your child to the next level.
Yeah, that's always what it's about. But I am so excited because I'm hearing some, you know, I'm hearing the excitement and I'm excited and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I don't even know where to start. Just like, wow. How long did it take for you to put this program together? And why is it so important for it to just be Black? I love it.
We started, I mean, I've been working on Dyess, the movement has been worked on for a long time, but the Institute specifically is in its third year full-time. So this is going to be our third year full-time. Prior to that, we were doing it for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Two, 3 years, because my son, I've been homeschooling my children since they were born.
Oh, wow.
But officially on paper, it starts at 6. And about 6 years ago, you know, we were like, I had a little group of homeschoolers that we would work with. I used to do an event called Educating Us. And I guess this leads into your next question. I teach the children that responsibility isn't about racism. And oftentimes they teach us to be racist through the eyes of white people.
Mm-hmm.
But racism isn't what I think most people are taught. I'm avidly a racist. You know, I have no problem with saying I'm a racist. But we think about examples of racism, positive racism, the Puerto Rican Day Parade, the Irish Day Parade, the German First National Bank, the Jewish First National Bank. You know, all of these are examples of ethnic, the ethnocentrism being organized in a very high-level fashion.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish communities, the Asian Business Alliance. Like, this is all examples of racism.
Right.
Where they create programs that are set forth to focus on specific populations based off their ethnic background.
Right.
And it stops other people from getting involved because you're not part of this ethnic background.
Right.
It's just that simple. It's a form of responsibility. Like, why would you be a German and not create a bake for Germans if you go to another country?
Right.
Why would you not create a business alliance if you're Chinese?
Yeah.
For all of your Chinese people in America?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you create a Black school for Black children
yes.
if you live in America?
Yes, exactly. But when it comes to Black people, every time we want to talk about our history, our culture, about anything Black, oh, my God, you're racist. Yeah. Look, people are afraid to say, I'm Black. You know, you hear people say, you know, I'm Black now. You know, and it's like, why are you whispering that word? That word is not a taboo word. It is who we are. We can't change it. I can't scrub it off. I cannot not be Black. So I do want to talk about my Black history, the real Black history. I do want my children and my grandchildren to understand what it is to be Black and not what it is to be Black in America, what it is to be Black, period, because that's who we are. But it's almost like anything that you say or anytime somebody says, oh, let's come up with a Black bank. White folk look or people look and say, oh, you're being racist. You just, you know, you want to go back to segregation. You want to go back to being separate. Well, we are separate. We are us. They never integrated with us. We integrated with their schools. We integrated with their hospitals. We integrated with their communities. They never came to our communities. They never come to our hospitals. They destroyed everything that they could when it came to Black people. So now we come up with a Black school and everybody's like, oh, why is he just doing all that? Well, they have, like you said, Chinese school. The Jews educate their children. So we as Black people, it's time for us to educate our children. Now, you mentioned a homeschooling and a virtual program. Are they the same or are they different?
Well, to be in our program, you have to be a homeschool student.
Okay.
That just makes the legal aspect a lot simpler.
Okay.
But in each state, that gets tricky. But parents, you have to be a homeschooler to get into our program, just to make it simple. Yes, we use synchronous forms of education. So the children online are synchronous with the children in a building, and it's all live at the same time.
Okay, great, great. Now,
so during a typical day, they would really, truly have about six different teachers.
Okay.
All black.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. When you say, with the curriculum, you know, different students, our students tend to learn, I don't even want to say we learn different. We learn the way we learn, okay? But we learn different than white students. That's what I'm trying to say. How is it that your curriculum accommodates our, you know, I don't want to say IEP because that's a white folk term, because I believe that because we learn different, they just stuck us into an IEP and said, oh, you're special ed, or you're, and I don't believe in special ed. I don't believe that. I just believe that they don't know how to teach our children. So therefore, and then they're not teaching our children about their blackness. So it's not interesting. So they kind of zone out. So how are you teaching them the way that they learn? Because I know it's three different types of ways that our children learn. So what way do your children, I mean, do you teach your children at your school so that our children can get it? You understand what I'm saying?
I answer that in two parts. The first part, it's a process. Each child is the family situation, and
mm-hmm.
their acceptance to education is a reflection on their family situation.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. if your mother, if the father, yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to say either one more, but mm-hmm. if your parents aren't about education, the child typically not about education.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter. And if you're in a single family home, so this, I'm not going to pick a side.
Okay.
I'm going to say if the child is in a single family home
mm-hmm.
and one parent is more of the sole provider,
uh-huh.
meaning that that person, the child is living in that person's physical setting, whoever controls the physical setting more is more responsible for the education. So I'll just say that part. So if you're a mother and you're home with the child all the time, that tends to be the case, you have to do your job with education.
Right.
Father, if you're home with the child more of the time, you have to do your job with education. So that sets the tone up front
mm-hmm.
because, yeah, children who have a high aptitude and astuteness for learning,
mm-hmm.
their parents usually are, you know, the reason why.
Yeah.
And children who aren't, like there's a child, as they're saying, this is a student who's on mine, and I have to call his mother because she's taking him out of the program. And his father volunteers in the program, but he has this freedom that she's allowing him to have. And
mm.
so, like, if you're buying your children Jordans and they've been failing, and I don't care if it's white school, black school, whatever
That's
school it is, they're failing is failing.
Failing is failing.
If you don't have a portfolio, if you don't have anything to show, you shouldn't be rewarding your child.
Right.
That's just what it is. So it's hard to even – that's why this year we ask our parents – how do you discipline your child?
Right.
And also, what video game full of time?
Right.
You know, what is your child's lifestyle, and how disciplined is your child according to you?
Right.
Because if you don't discipline your child and your child is not disciplined, we can relate it to the questionnaire that we asked.
Mm-hmm.
So now with teaching methodology, how do I look at that? I want to answer it kindly. Because my father was a Marine, so I was, you know, I have that type of militant aspect, but my mother was a Harlem mother, and so that loving component where you just have to nurture. So it's a blend of those things. It's a hard drilling regiment, but there's also a very nurturing, student friendly based environment. And so I try, it's challenging to look at because I don't respond to lazy.
Right.
And so I don't know how to reach, especially teenagers who are lazy and whose parents won't put hands and feet on them.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I can reach every child. Like, look, if your kid is lazy and you're spoiling them,
right.
I can't reach your kid.
No.
Like, because I'm going to tell you to do it. It's going to be like, look, you need to whoop that. You know, you whoop their ass. Make them write some essays. Stop buying them anything name brand. Get them off the computer. But more than likely, the children who we have who have those type of issues in our institute, they have name brand clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They have really expensive gaming systems.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend more than 3 to 5 hours a day on their gaming systems, mm-hmm. and their children do not, their parents physically don't discipline.
Right.
And so we kind of bundled up all of the children who have our issues are in that box. So if you don't beat your kid, I understand, that's on you. But if you don't have some physical means, like they don't do push-ups, they don't do sit-ups, they don't hold the wall, no problem, that's on you. But if they're also playing video games and all this other stuff, and they eat cereal and sugar, and you're not
eating,
man, it's a basketball situation. So it's not black or white or anything. That's
right.
Just a, like, that's the parent. Because a child, like, I have teachers who just started. I might not even be the best teacher, right? Like, my first time teaching when I was a GED, I walked into the classroom, and I just stood in front of the class, and I started stuttering. I started sweating so profusely. My hands were shaking. And the bad kids in the class joked on me. The kids who you can tell had a certain upbringing.
Right. Yeah.
Said, chill, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Take your time, Mr. Q.
Yeah.
This is your first time teaching. You can, and so children who come from a certain home respond to being educated by a real teacher. It don't matter if they black, white, Spanish, whatever it is. That, like, my children only know black.
Yeah.
If I take my kids to the range and the instructor's wife, my children let me be respectful and take the information.
Right.
You're not going to just jump around, and they know at the end of the day, if you don't listen to that person being your instructor, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to do push-ups right in front of them. I don't want you to have to do push-ups because you ain't listening to this white person, but
you
will.
Gonna
make you bring you to the car. That's like, where's the car?
They know what the car means.
Yeah, so if you don't, so my parents used to tell me, when I went to the church, they gave me a week free. So my father gave me the lecture.
Uh-huh.
They gave you a week free. If you don't act right, you're going to get a beating.
That's right. You knew what
don't
that
let
meant.
These white folks, you know, if these white folks gave you this good thing for free, don't give them no problem.
Yes.
And then if my parents paid full price, that was even more of a reason to say, you know, I paid full price for this. You better not waste one damn penny. If I don't get my money out of this stuff, you're going to be an issue. So parents, they should be having that conversation with their children in any way. If your child, the public school system is not free.
Uh-huh.
That is the white man trying to come up with a way to educate people in a systematic way.
Indoctrination. Right.
So however you want, that is not free. So,
right.
And especially if you live in a county where you're, if there's black counties that are black, like Pierce County. So the schools in that county are underneath the helm of the black parents who own the property.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't want to homeschool, no problem. Go into your district and start making the changes in your district.
Right.
Force the principals to tell the principals, we're not allowing your we're not paying our taxes this year if you don't get rid of this principal.
Right.
Your district council will immediately get rid of that principal. If your superintendent and your black city, black county doesn't respect y'all, get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's your tax money that puts them in power.
And I don't think we understand that. I don't think we understand the power that we possess. And like you said, parenting is everything. I wrote a book, and I'm going to show it to you in a minute. So if I move, I'm going to get the book. But it's called A Mother's Love. And it's all about parenting. And I spent 20 years writing this book because I wanted to understand parenting because my mom wasn't there, and I wanted to do it totally different. So I wrote a book about it. And I'm going to tell you what, the results, I taught my children totally different. We did discipline. It was a requirement for college. And I started as far as when they were two and three, four and five, talking about college. You would go to college. You would go to college because back then we were taught about college. But my daughters both have degrees, and my baby was my brainchild, and I knew it. And I held their feet to the fire. If you make A's and B's, don't bring me no C's and D's home. If you are a C student, then I expect C student work. But I still know that it's something that you can bring a B home in. So I held their feet to the fire. And I told them every child in my house would get a degree because, I didn't want to take care of you. And for two, I knew what it was going to take in this society for our black children to be providers, or they needed to be prosperous adults. So in my house, it was for them to go to college. And then I said, if you are entrepreneur, which is a gift in our family, now my oldest has three businesses and a degree. So I held their feet to the fire, and I knew their gift, and I led them into that direction. You have to understand your child's gift. You have to understand the direction that they need to go in. You'll see the direction if you're watching your children. You'll understand the gifts that they possess. Some are very good at math. Okay, if you have a child that had an IEP, which I did, I have, you know, because I didn't understand the stereotyping that they were stereotyping my child. And I said, okay, this is your IEP, but I didn't allow her to use it as an excuse. No, this is what we have, but it's not that you're dumb or stupid. It's we learn different. Everybody learns different, but I allowed them to label my child, but I didn't allow her to use that as an excuse. So that was my uneducated part of me saying, okay, well, my daughter needs to. Yeah, but my thing is we have to know that education and our child's future is important. We have to, we are developing prosperous adults that would be able to stand in this world. You have to know parenting is important. You cannot do it without both parents. I don't care if you're with that man or not. Women, ladies, if you have babies by these men, okay, if they're there or not, you parent together. It's not me against him. Me and my ex, we work together. And until he died, I will call him and say, hey, we need some help. And, men issues, my daughter called him. Call your daddy, and he talked to her about boys. He talked about what, you know, the men, the boys expected. He talked about the sex, you know, the sex thing as far as the boys were concerned. And I did the other part as far as the mom was concerned. But we worked together. We weren't together. We were married, you know, whatever. But we divorced, but we still parented. That is so important. I could not do this parenting thing by myself. And so I didn't try. And he, you know, but we have to get, listen, I don't want to get all off, but I want to understand, you know, I want to understand as far as tell them how important it is for us to do it together, the man and the woman to do it together. It's not me against him or you against her against it. We got to do this together, family. We got to bring our families back together. And that's my thing here with black folk. We looking at these women, I'm hearing women say, I don't need a man. I can do it by myself. No, you can't. Stop it with that nonsense. Black folks only want to talk about we can do stuff by ourselves. Why do black women have to raise our children by ourselves? That's not normal. Society has normalized that. That is not normal, black women. We don't have to raise our children by ourselves. We need our kings. Our boys need our kings. Our little girls need their dads. The dad teaches little girls what kind of man to attract to themselves, and they teach their boys how to be men. We can't teach a boy how to be a man, and we cannot just teach our girls to bring in these dysfunctional men and expect them to pick a king. No, they need their dad. They need the family. And I'm education, your school, it sounded like it's well-rounded. It's well-versed in our blackness. So let me ask you another question. How many?
I want to touch, if it's possible, can I touch on the IEP real quick?
Absolutely, please, absolutely.
So I know the IEP part. So the IEP game is crazy. Just so you know, so the IEPs is individualized education plan.
Uh-huh.
Now, depending on your district, it gets really fun. So the way it's all legal jargon.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for them to get federal money,
they have to
make sure your child in the school is performing above a 33% percentile.
Okay.
So the students in the school, more than one-third of them have to be performing above one-third of the national, there's one or at least a 33% on a national normalized test.
Okay.
And so in order for them to get that federal money, they need to do that. Now, the only way to get that federal money, if you're in a failing school or if you have low numbers, is to have an excuse.
Got it.
So in order to have an excuse, you have to be able to push the accountability away from the parent and away from the school. So when a parent signs their child to the school system, they have just given the school system the specific duty of being the caregiver for that child's educational capacity.
Uh-huh.
Very specific. There's two forms of capacity that the government monitors and it puts on the parent.
Uh-huh.
Health capacity, educational capacity. You will go to jail in America in certain districts if your child's not performing their capacity level. A sister on American Idol's child was just taken away because she didn't get her vaccination shot on time or paperwork. I'm not agreeing with this. I just want you to know how each county treats educational capacity and health capacity. They do not play with these in some counties because to them, like she said, this is their county's livelihood. So they say, if you're not producing a healthy baby, we won't have somebody to tax. And if you don't educate your baby, we won't have somebody that makes money. And so they're going to end up needing social services.
Wow.
That's the government's position on education.
Okay.
That is why, so now with the IEP, the schools use the IEP as a means of stating that the child is physically not able to perform on level. And so once a child has an IEP, they're not able, now the state doesn't have to put them on the same books. Then it goes a step further and allows the school to now further ask for more money. Every student in America typically has a budget of about $100 to $250 per hour. Every student in America. So if your child has a Social Security and they live in a county, they have a budget of about $200 an hour from the state and the federal government combined.
Okay.
That goes for school lunch, books, teachers, the road, the school buses, the gym, the auditorium, the computers, technology, all of that money is broken up into that. Now, if your child has an IEP, that budget goes up to anywhere from $400 to $600 an hour.
Wow.
And depending on what's on the IEP, it will just keep going up. For example, a child who is an orphan has an IEP that is almost budgeted at $1,000 to $2,000 an hour, and their daily budget is like $3,000. It's crazy because a child who's an orphan will have Section 8 given to them. They will have provided living. They will more, if they live in a state house or a state-funded house, the state will pay that person or that house upward of $3,000 to have that person in there. They also have to have the state pay for their Medicaid. All of these things are paid for by the state, and when the state does their budget, they look at that child and say, this child is this much an hour or that much an hour. That's how the IEP goes. So we've been taught the nothing of the game. So now, what state are you from?
I'm in North Carolina.
So North Carolina is a pro-choice state. So let me show you the game, right?
Okay.
So the compulsory age in North Carolina is 18 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
They raised it up. So you couldn't before do it at 16. And so why is it in the interest of the schools? Again, why would I let your child leave earlier when I can bill the federal government $200 an hour till they're 18?
Mm-hmm.
In pro-choice states, homeschool parents can do the exact same thing.
Wow.
So you're allowed to direct where your educational budget goes in pro-choice states. So if your school district is failing or is it not able to meet the needs of your IEP, your state's budget for your child goes to where you choose to go, where your place of choice. So if you wanted to use that money to send them to an educational program or different private tutor, different this, all you have to do is send the bills to your city and the city will pay for it. Each city has a different way to handle it. So in Ohio, they have like a $12,000 budget. And Oakland parents have a $14,000 budget. In San Francisco, I think it's $18,000 budget. In Virginia, there's a budget for it. And when you have an IEP, that stays with them depending on the IEP. So the IEP is only as valid as the Social Security number attached to it. So if you don't have the SSI approval of your IEP, it doesn't really exist outside of the school system. Now, the school system's game is that school psychologists, the school psychologist is only able to work in the school. So a school psychologist is nobody to the state. The state does not recognize a school psychologist as a means of determining a child's need for social services. This is why if your child has an IEP, what you call it, assessed by a state-administered proctor, whatever you call it.
Right.
And so the school will send that bill or they'll send your child to have that person assessed by a state state approved whatever you call it. But their school doctor is only good enough for the court system. The way the court system works, the hospitals, the police, and the mayor's office respect the superintendent's office.
Okay.
The superintendent's office is allowed to justify its actions by stating that the medical application for their determined procedures was based off of this person's degree. So as a nonprofit, you can make certain medical decisions
uh-huh.
based off of the people you have as a degree within your organization. So if I have somebody who's a speech pathologist,
mm-hmm.
I can bill the city for speech pathology.
Okay.
If I have somebody who's a psychologist, they can deem your child as needing an IEP in this setting.
Okay.
So because of that, the courts will allow that to go through. But the federal government will not accept that as a means of justifying Social Security.
Okay.
So just so everybody understands the legalities of it.
Wow.
So now the IEP as a homeschool parent just means more money for you and you're in a pro-choice state. That means that if they have speech pathology,
uh-huh.
if they have behavioral modifications,
mm-hmm.
behavioral modifications mean that you can put your child in sports.
Mm-hmm.
That means that the city will pay for sports. It will pay for counseling. It will pay for peer mediation. It will pay for adult the influencer programs. All of this is underneath any child who has behavioral modifications.
Okay.
So if you want to send your child to like a high-end rehabilitation camp where they go there and just get special retreats
uh-huh.
for like these little rich kids,
yeah.
that's what these rich kids are doing.
Okay.
They're like, no, the federal government's going to pay for it because my child has a behavioral modification, okay. and the reason why he's bad is because he only experienced this.
Right.
So in order to modify his behavior, the city, we made the city pay for him to take a retreat to Florida and the Keys.
Wow. That,
they have it for gaming. They have it for divorce. If your parent, if you got divorced, if your child gets, the parents get a divorce, that's an IEP.
How many parents know this? How many parents know this? I had one and knew none of this. Didn't even know where to look it up. All I knew, but it followed her from, you know, college. It followed her all from high school, college, you know. But we never needed it because I was there. And determining, like you said, the parenting and determining what was expected in my house, I expected you to make the grades that I knew that you could make. You couldn't come home and with D's and F's because I knew that wasn't what you were a C or a B student. That's what I expected. So then again, here we come back to parenting. We have to, as black parents, stay on our children. We cannot parent like white parents. I'm sorry. They don't discipline. We discipline. We spank. Okay. You understand what I'm saying. But we're trying to take on their behaviors. We now allow them to, like you said, play games for 10-hour days. After they come from school, you don't study, you don't do it. No, we're parents. We will make sure that our children are being led in the right direction. So we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to family. We have to get back to understanding our children, like I said, our children's gifts, understanding that direction, leading and guiding our children into the right direction. Let me ask you a question. The name of the school is what, and what does it mean? Where'd you get that name from? I love it. Where'd you get the name from?
To be honest, some coronas and a lot of marijuana like 20 years ago when we was in college. So the premise was, let's come up with a name that we can apply to anything we do, and nobody can say they owned it before us. Nobody said that, and so it was myself and four other brothers and myself, and I brought it together, but I didn't come up with the name. I came up with a second why, and we were there for about 4 hours, 5 hours, and we got to come up with a name. And to be honest, I dreamt of that on I graduated on Rikers Island, long story, but when I was there, I was like, I got to do something for the community, and I was deep into religion at that time. I was like, God has directed me. And I was like, God told me to find brothers that I can come up with this name with. And I swore when I found my boys in college, that was what, part of the reason God sent me there at the time, whatever. And we sat there with a bunch of coronas and liquor and marijuana, to be honest, and said almost 1,000 different names and combinations in all different ways. And then we said Zyx at like 3 hours in, and we just wrote it down, and it was like, let's go back to that word Zyx. That was so different. He was like, but let's not spell it with a Z. Let's get into the phonetics, like xylophone, and in the act, if you put A-Y together, the the Y is silent, and so it's technically Zy X. And it was like, hold on, we ordered something here. And it was in 2002. We had no clue what we were doing. I was just now starting to DJ, and I think I still have the notes from 2000. So we, all right, now that we got the name, what are we going to do with it? And we was like, look, everything had to be about black empowerment somewhere. So it's like, all right, we got to help the world change it. Like, we're going to make newsstands, and in the newsstands, we're going to put black literature inside of the newsstands, and we're going to give good, healthy food in it.
Yeah.
Like, we can't get a newsstand. Newsstand in New York City is like $100,000 if you get one in the MTA one. He was like, we're going to do a hot dog stand. Hot dog stand is like, damn, it's $100,000. Believe them hot dog stands be like $100,000, $40,000 in group. You want a good hot dog stand in the city? City ain't gonna play with you. They're gonna hit you for some money.
Uh-huh.
So we were just running down the line, and at the time, my parents left me the apartment, and I was getting into music, and I started my little music studio, and then I took off as an engineer, and Zyx Studios was like the first business that Zyx really kind of went off from. There was Zyx Radio, there was Zyx Poetry Slam, there was Zyx Community This. I was doing GED programs, Zyx Project Gap Education Assistance Program, GED Assistance Program, Project Gap. We got 6 people at GED. This was in like 2005. My mother, she's like, Q, I remember when you was crying. You got those kids at GED, and nobody knew about it but you and us, and you were so proud. And it was people that was coming to your studio, the people that came to my studio, like you said, education, so you know. Education ain't white, black, or anything.
Right.
That's just what it is. So education and profitability go hand to hand. And education doesn't mean degree. Education is your ability to perform at a task or whatever it is. And so the skill set that you have, mm-hmm. the wisdom, your prior knowledge, your connections, all of that goes into your education to make you be able to be. Because let's say you were educated as a mechanic, but you don't have the network in order to help you in times of need, you wasn't properly educated. That's how I was shown part of the reason to go to college was to be around the specific group of people. Now you're around a bunch of doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're around a bunch of cardiologists. So if you're having a situation and you need to fix something and you don't understand it, you have 100 cardiologists in your phone.
Right.
You have 100 mechanics in your phone. You have 100 audio engineers in your phone.
Networking.
But if you only have a high school education, you won't have a list of professional people in your phone because you didn't get to take the time to lock yourself in with just your sector of professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a humbling event, I went to school for astrophysics. I graduated on Rikers Island. I was not as smart as I should have been, and I wound up going to school for astrophysics.
Uh-huh.
And this program I was in was led by just as everybody knows Neil deGrasse Tyson, but he was like one of the main teachers who was the featured teacher in my program. So I had like 5 lectures or 6 lectures from him. The main teacher who created was his brother named Professor Leon Johnson. And his main teacher behind him was this Chinese dude, Charles Liu. But I was able to take classes in the planetarium, Hayden Planetarium. And just to give you all a perspective, the Hayden Planetarium's class is only for the members who pay the $1,500 a year membership. The people who pay this membership pay this because they want to have an opportunity to be taught by Charles Liu and a special opportunity to speak to Neil deGrasse Tyson. So when I was there, I'm the only black man in this program and one of 3 black people in this program. So in the Hayden Planetarium, it is 99% elder, like 70% white men, 60% white men, 50 years older, who made $100,000 a year and were retired and had at least $100,000 to $1 million in savings. This was a very humbling experience.
Wow.
And then the white women there, everyone there is a civil engineer, physicist, electromagnetic engineer. So everyone in there makes money. There's no one in there. Like, the weakest profession was an accountant. Just to give a perspective, the white guy who I got cool with was the accountant. He was the biker who wasn't really good at school.
Uh-huh.
And we just got cool when it was 20 years ago, you know, whatever.
And everybody else in it was, I'm talking about major STEM professionals, made a lot of money.
Wow.
And I'm sitting in the back, smell like weed. I'm getting there late. Like, yo, I'm just in here. I'm this black dude. God, in my mind, I was still a religious head. So I'm like, God sent me here. I'm sitting in the back like, I'm in here with all these white folks. And their respect for the information, the money they paid for the information,
mm-hmm.
the pursuit of information at that age, like these were not 20-year-olds. These were all, the average age was 50 years old.
Wow.
I was a baby. I was 25 years old. I was a baby. They didn't even look at me as an adult.
Wow.
And they looked at me, the Indian girl, and the Indian girl, she was doing calculus in her head, and she was 19. And so just to give you a perspective, I was failing in math, you know what I mean? And I'm the only black guy in there and all over the place, and these people are miles. I want you to understand, so when I talk about intelligence and
yes,
like stuff
yes.
and my respect for education,
yes.
these are some of the experiences I've seen was like these other communities have a level of respect for
yes.
education
yes.
that their society and communities push
yes.
for.
Yes.
You know, and that's just something we need to have where
yes.
we need to, you know, where we, our respect for the sciences is that high. This was a $1,500 class.
Wow.
Or it might have been in addition to the membership fee. Like, this was not cheap. The book was $300, Charles
wow.
Lew book, or $200. It was, this is the Hayden Planetarium, and it's only at night for this class. So this is a private lecture class. I don't know if y'all know who Charles Lew is, but Charles Lew works for the Weather Channel, NASA. He's like the resident Neil deGrasse Tyson, technically underneath him.
Uh-huh.
He's the curator for the Hayden Planetarium, Charles Lew. That Chinese dude is, he does 11-digit computations in his head like this.
Wow,
like,
wow.
No joke. And to be around that and to understand, like, these people are no joke, no joke. And so when I hear us, I just sometimes, because I hear people say, like, you know, black people and white people, how we teach. And I've really had to change a lot of that up in the last 2 years.
What's the difference? Tell me what's the difference.
Teaching is teaching. Teaching is a verb. And
mm-hmm.
any person on the planet, how you teach any person on the planet differs. Like, and this isn't to bring highlights to white people, but I take my kids to the range all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the white boys that be at ranges
mm-hmm.
love guns.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the ones who are just there for a job, and then you got the white boys who love guns.
Yeah.
And the way they teach anybody about guns comes from a place of love.
Love, uh-huh.
And it's the same thing I see with black people when
mm-hmm.
I go to Atlanta and I go to gun ranges. The black dudes that are there for a job, they don't really care.
Right.
They're like, oh, your kid don't know how to use a gun, that's on you.
Right.
The ones who care, they're going to pull your kid to the side. Hey, look, this is
yes.
the safety. Look, you should know this. Hey, you know what? All of y'all come over.
Yes.
Let me show you this.
Yes.
And they're listening. They're looking at the person's eye. And this is just quality education. So it doesn't matter who you are.
Uh-huh.
A quality educator will do these same things. And a person who has a quality reverence or a deep reverence and astuteness for education will have a certain level of respect for what they're learning. And that's just what it is. And I know I didn't have that respect for a long time for education, and I fronted like I did.
Uh-huh.
And it was through these experiences where I had to sit back and say, Noah Q, you have to respect education. And that comes from sitting down, reading a book, being attentive. Fellas, we used to make fun of the people that's, why are you sitting like this in class? Why every time the teacher moves, your neck going like this? Because they respect what they're learning.
Right, they were learning. But it all comes back to your gift. It all comes back to a person teaching. That has to be their gift. I tell anybody, if you're a supervisor on the job, it has to be your gift because you are white and I say so and they put you in management, doesn't mean that you know how to manage. That has
nope.
to be your gift. And a lot of us are not working or we don't have businesses in our gift. So that's why we're not enjoying it. So that's why we're not making money. So if you are in your gift, you are going to make your millions because your gifts make room for you. I believe that. And if you're working your gift, that's your millions right there. So if you work in cleaning facility and you're supposed to be a baker, you know, in there baking some cakes and you sitting up there tired and not enjoying your job and you're like, oh, my God, why am I doing this? You're not in your gift. But this is why us understanding our children and directing them into their gifts, that's how you know that your child is going to enjoy what they do. They're going to love doing it, and you're going to, and it's going to be exciting every day. But we as parents aren't learning our children's gifts. We're not directing them into that direction. And just by sitting down talking to them, you'll find out what their gifts are. But we have to take the time out. And society has to where we're working, what, 16-hour days, 12-hour days? We're missing a whole lot of time with our children because a lot of times you leave when they sleep and you come back home when they sleep. What did you learn about your child? Absolutely nothing. Nothing.
Spend about 15 hours a week. I tell parents you probably spend more than 10 hours a week.
Right.
And in that 10 hours, it might be 5 hours of interacting.
Right. Time. And you're allowing enemies to raise your children. These are enemies. They never, I don't care what nobody says. These are enemies. These are people whose grandparents looked at people hanging and burning them alive. That's who you are allowing to educate your children. And you know how much they don't care about you? They show you every day. But what do? Every single day we wake up and take our babies and drop them off to enemies, and they're in the enemy's hands for 8 hours, 6 hour days. And we don't see nothing wrong with that? Really? Black people, it's time to wake up. I'm trying to give us.
I learned the word.
Go ahead.
I'm learning the word. I'm with you on the enemy vibe. I'm also learning to learn it a little. I have a new perception of the enemy. The enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Jewish community taking advantage of that retarded enemy. And so I'm learning to have a different perspective of the Jewish community because of how they treat what we consider to be the enemy.
Yeah.
The enemy is a dummy. And so their system doesn't really mean anything. It's up to where you use it. And then, of course, your knowledge of the system. And a lot of times we just have ignorance of the business and mechanisms of the system. Because like I said, like Pierce County is straight black.
Uh-huh.
Atlanta has straight black county. So there's no white folk issues. It's a bunch of black people who don't understand what to do for themselves. And that's why for me, black empowerment is responsible. When we say a woman's empowered, that means she doesn't have to depend on a man.
Right.
When a child is empowered, the first form of empowerment for a child is holding a spoon,
mm-hmm.
holding the bottle on it. Any parent will tell you when a child can hold a bottle on their own, that is the first form of relief. You no longer got to do this.
Come on.
Just do this.
Come on.
Let's talk about it.
That's right.
The first empowerment is when they can just hold a bottle.
That's right.
And now they can hold it on their own.
Yeah.
And you'll see parents who create the inferiority right there.
Right.
I don't want them to hold a bottle. And they'll push the baby's hands down and hold it for them.
Right. Taking away their independence.
Let them get that muscle.
That's right.
Get the muscles up. You want to eat? You hungry?
That's right.
Hold your bottle up.
That's right.
That's going to help them develop that energy level where they're like, oh, my muscles need to be set so I can feed myself.
Right.
And that practice comes in where you're not spoon feeding them.
Right.
And the time they choose where are you going to sit? And I tell children, do you want your mommy to tie your shoe for you? And most children will say no.
That's right.
Do you want your mommy to feed you?
No.
They'll say no.
Right.
Do you want your mommy to pick your toys? They'll say no. So if they understand these forms of responsibility, that's what empowerment lies in responsibility. So for those Negroes who only see it as racism, it's understand that the rest of the community sees you as irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see you as taking on the responsible position as a constituent of the country. They see you as someone who is taking advantage of the free benefits of the country. They're not going to say, you've been in this country 300 years, why don't you have your own black schools? That's the first thing a Chinese person is going to look at you.
Right.
And they're like, why wouldn't you have your own black school?
Right.
They hung you, they shot you, they
right.
don't like you, they hate music.
Right.
Why? Like, they
yeah.
like Chinese people.
Yeah.
They make movies about us, they accept us, they bring us in, we got money,
right.
we own most of America,
yep.
so we can
yep.
go to schools in America.
Yep.
Chinese people and Jewish people flourish in public school systems. Flourish. Mexicans flourish, and black people don't. So anybody like, why don't you just make your own school? Like, that's just responsibility. So it's not, in 2021, an example of responsible person or a person who's empowered not having a form of system for education for yourself. you're not empowered not having your own means of emergency.
Right.
You're not empowered if you don't have your own centralized business system.
Right.
And so
right.
like you said, the black banks earlier, the Negroes who said let's get integrated did not reflect on the part that the school system's job isn't to get your community to be successful.
Right.
It's to create a basic platform
yeah.
to be able to make sure everybody has a small option or ability to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But the federal government put it on your district's
right.
responsibility's head.
Right.
So they like black people live in a bad district and we don't know politics,
right.
our education will never be fixed up.
Right.
We need to understand that the federal government does not exist. They're the only national organization that organizes the law. So and sometimes it's in our best interest to take a federal approach to things because, like you see, federal government gave blacks rights before most states did.
Mm-hmm.
It was the federal government that had to tell states, change your laws. Just to give you an idea, the federal government was never involved in slavery. It was the states that were involved in slavery. The federal government didn't exist in that time. So now that's where it goes back to reparations.
Okay.
Who were you suing for reparations? The federal government didn't even exist. And the federal government that was damn near built on shutting down slavery. Because that's what Abraham Lincoln would tell you. Like, the federal government was the federal, he created the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
And so just having this information will let us be able to contextualize who's even responsible for reparations.
Right.
What counties, what districts that allowed these things to go on. What states made laws that allowed these things to go on. Not every state had the same law.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain, you know, counties that have completely different laws than other ones that never even had. They look at reparations is going to be completely different. North
right.
Carolina owes almost every single black person in America money. Like, their hands in slavery in Kentucky
yes.
is a lot of what we're talking about. Like, Kentucky and North Carolina owe
let's not forget Virginia now. Let's not forget Virginia.
Virginia. Let's
okay.
It's totally different. It's not to take New York's rights away, but New York and Boston banned slavery way before America did. Slavery was banned in Boston a long time before the federal government got involved.
Right.
And that doesn't mean the experience of black people was fair. It's just understanding how the legalities work in these
right.
counties so we can take advantage of it. So why do I say that again? So in Ramapo, New York, the Jewish community is at war with New York State.
Yeah.
And how does this go together? So I have something called circuitry of black power.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying circuitry of black power. Because a lot of times we have a linear view of what black empowerment means.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, no, in order to get rich, we need to focus on, that makes no sense. In
mm-hmm.
order to get rich, focus on things that will get you well.
Right.
The most of the
right.
time that you can.
Right.
Like you said, you didn't want your children. You said a very powerful statement, if you heard of. She didn't say, I'm going to give my children life insurance money for them to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I want my children to take care of themselves, so I made sure they got into college. That pretty much means, I heard that means that she protected them from getting student loans.
Right.
She got them a degree that they can make sure that they can be gainfully employed
right.
in. And that means she empowered her legacy. And if they were graduated under 24 and they was living at home, she increased her home's potential
right.
10 times forward.
Right.
This is what goes on when you look at it from the, this is exactly how the government looks at it.
Mm-hmm.
The government says, if you give a child the, this, so New York City has a very aggressive approach with STEM now.
Okay.
They removed literature and said, all we want to do is focus on STEM.
Uh-huh.
And they said, why? Because of Bloomberg. Bloomberg is a billionaire.
Yeah.
Led by a billionaire for 12 years.
Yes.
Some of the views we have now
yes.
is very much about money.
Right.
Bloomberg is the one who said, get rid of literature.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of all that stuff. Focus on money.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's doing STEM. White, black, Chinese, everybody's doing STEM.
Uh-huh.
He's the reason why he said, let's get rid of sodas and push health care because who's paying for these people when they reach 50 years old?
Right.
So when you look at Atlanta, who's allowing all of these food corporations to come in
yep.
and sell all of this death food,
yep.
Atlanta's going to have an issue with medical care,
right.
which they already have an issue with when they have all of these overweight people
right.
who have diabetes,
yep.
who have heart issues, who have lung issues, respiratory issues because they were eating bad food
right.
unregulated. New York City right now has free gyms, Bloomberg put gyms in all of the parks now.
Oh,
not
wow.
the regular monkey bar.
Uh-huh.
They have physical gyms. They have the bicycles,
oh,
the
wow.
rowboat, gymnastics. They're putting that in every single park.
Uh-huh.
They're like, look, you want people to be healthy?
Uh-huh.
Let's do healthy. New York City collects compost now. So we have four different types of garbage. We have three different types of garbage in the entire city now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You have blue bag. You have blue bag, and blue bag has two different types of blue bag now in certain districts.
Uh-huh.
You have regular garbage, and you have compost, and compost is separated into two different types of compost. Why? Because New York City said it makes more money selling their garbage already pre-separated.
Oh, wow.
Virginia
okay.
and the other cities don't separate their garbage. Atlanta doesn't even have a centralized garbage system, and so they don't make any money off their garbage, and so they're just sending their garbage to landfill.
Right. Wow.
So this is all business.
Yes.
So the circuitry of empowerment. Your school systems back up your banking system.
Right.
So if you and the black community went through integration
mm-hmm.
and said we're going to educate us, they didn't realize the responsibility for our community.
Worst thing we
us.
Could have did.
So when our schools are supposed to say we need to create the trades, we need to be doing this, and we need to have black people who for the purpose of social studies is to create a person who can produce and provide for society.
Yep.
How can a white person teach your black child how to produce and provide for society?
They can't.
It's only going to be from a white perspective.
Right.
You're not going to teach it from a black perspective. And so when we push that responsibility on, at the time in integration, there was over almost 150 black banks.
None.
Fast forward 50 years later,
zero.
And let's look at the statistics. We are now down to, I think, 14 black banks.
Mm-hmm.
And the black banks don't trust black people
right.
because black people don't have the business to make money. America large, and a lot of people say this tax stuff. If you're a black person who doesn't have a high profiting business, America does not care about your tax money.
Right.
Let me put that in there again. Because we have this idea that, oh, they taking my taxes. If you work at Kroger's, Walmart, basic delivery, like, they don't need your taxes. Your tax money is not represented in what makes the city go around.
Right.
Houses are what the main thing for the major part for education. If you don't own the houses in your community, they don't care about your tax money for schools. Now, if you don't own a business, your business is, then you're more than likely not supporting your city.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality of it. This is why most cities only really care about corporate tax. This is why New York City is so rich, because they have a corporate tax. You see what I mean? So, like, if you don't get that, that's just high-level understanding of taxes and how it works on the civil engineering side. How does your city maintain itself? Why is California in a deficit?
Right.
Why is New York City one of the only cities that can pay for defibrillators or the ventilators machines during COVID,
right.
everybody to borrow money
right.
from the federal government? Because New York City got that. New York City's charging everything.
Wow.
But,
wow.
you know, all of these things go hand in hand. We have more hospitals than everybody. You know, so even down to the vaccination.
Right.
I'm not telling you to vaccinate your kid. I'm not telling you not to vaccinate your kid. I'm going to say be educated. Rubella, what's the other ones? And measles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those things were crazy diseases that do not bother us anymore, like the chicken pox.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to act like vaccinations don't work. But what I will say is that because of the politics of the state,
right.
vaccinations are allowed to be purchased at the discretion of the affordability of the hospital. That creates a platform where places like New Jersey, who do not have the economic viability, are going to choose the most affordable vaccination.
Right.
In the business perspective, they're going to choose a vaccination that has all five of them in one. So that is dangerous when you have a city who can't afford to choose between the most tested and well-rounded vaccination
mm-hmm.
versus buying a new one because it's cheaper and they know that they can't afford it. Or if another example in Jersey, again, state high, they had 3,000 people possibly contracted AIDS because New Jersey didn't have the means of properly buying utensils to to deal with their regular patients. Mm-hmm. You have regular patients going into a clinic using utensils that weren't properly cleaned, sanitized, or purchased, and they were contracting AIDS. So let's not talk about vaccinations. Let's understand your government politics. Or how about in New York City, 3,000 classrooms have lead paint in it.
Wow.
Lead paint causes autism.
Yeah.
Lead paint causes developmental delays. So if your city's county, this is only in black neighborhoods. So if you don't want to wonder where those 1,000 schools, classrooms, or those 3,500 or 1,000 classrooms, or type it in, 3,500 classrooms or 1,000 classrooms in New York City have lead paint.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what it looks like in Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's not just vaccination. This is the business of managing people. In New York City, you have, we don't even know how many hospitals there are. You have private religious hospitals. I was born in Menomonee. Menomonee has a billion-dollar budget. Their budget is out the roof without the government. There's a Jewish hospital. The Jews don't mess with vaccination. So if you want to understand who's the largest community at war with the vaccination is the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They have the top lawyers fighting the vaccinations. In New York City, the measles outbreak was in Ramapo, New York. So that's what I was about to go to. Ramapo, New York,
yeah,
where the measles outbreak.
I remember that. Uh-huh. I remember.
That was 2 years ago.
Yep.
That is why New York City had to create and remove the religious vaccination clause,
right,
because the measles outbreak, the Jewish community never received the MMR vaccination. So when the measles outbreak hit their community,
mm-hmm,
no one was able to protect it.
Right.
In the black community, MMR is 30 years in our blood. So it's really hard to find a black person who doesn't have MMR inoculation or herd immunity from that. That's
but I do believe saying, back in the day, it's just a little bit different than what we're looking at today. Okay?
No, it is.
Yeah.
So, but you have places like certain hospitals,
mm-hmm,
in Kentucky, you want to know that. So if you are someone and you don't have an issue with vaccinations, cool. It's still your responsibility to know where the hospital purchased the vaccination from. And it's your responsibility to ask that. It's not in civil law. The information is based off the person asking. It's no one's responsibility to give you information of the law,
right,
unless the law tells them to. And again, that's a federal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when a debt collector has to pay to collecting a debt, it's because the federal law made it.
Okay.
Outside of that, civil law is not the same way as criminal law. So the school does not have the right, does not have the responsibility to tell you your rights. The hospital is not supposed to tell you your rights. It is your duty and responsibility to know your laws and rights as they pertain to you and your constituency in whatever county you're in. That is direly important.
Let me ask you a question. How do we change the narrative as far as our culture allowing our, enemies to educate our children instead of us changing the mindset saying, okay, now it's time for us to do this here. We've done this. It didn't work. It's not working. And it'll never work. So let's switch it. How do we switch the narrative? It's time to switch the narrative and have more. And I'm making a call out to all of my educators. Let's get it together. Group economics. We can have these schools popping up all over America. Are you willing to help other people? Like, say, for instance, somebody wants to go and create your same program in Washington State. Are you willing to help them to do that? And I know with what's going on right now, it's going to probably be virtual learning for a long time. We have a lot of educators that have degrees that can come together and create schools for our children so that we can start bringing it back to where it needs to be, and that's us teaching us, just like everybody else is teaching themselves. We got to do it, but we have got to change the mindset. How do we change the mindset? What do we do first?
I don't have a weak perspective. I think the individual who's motivated to do it, China was built by Genghis Khan.
Mm-hmm.
The Zulu nation, Shaka Zulu, we don't remember every member. We remember, America is largely the result of two people.
Mm-hmm.
As we know it today, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and the Carnegies,
mm-hmm,
those two families made America what it is. If the Roosevelts or whatever his name is didn't say, because America never said I wanted to connect America. The federal government never said let's build a railroad to connect America.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government never said educate your children. Never once did they say, look, you should build a school to educate your children.
Mm-hmm.
It was FDR and Carnegie that made the federal government like, y'all bugging. And you just want a bunch of dumb white people walking around? They wasn't talking about Negroes. They wasn't talking about Negroes. They
right.
You want a bunch of Irish people walking around?
Right.
You want a bunch of dumb Englishes?
Right.
You want a bunch of like, and so the first boarding school, that was created to indoctrinate Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say Indians, that's what they call it, but Native Americans. And so education is responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And the for me, my business is black empowerment.
Right.
And so I won't even say, because I don't even recruit educators.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at you, sis. Like, I would love for you to be a part of what we have going on. And so whatever way, I think sometimes the educating community is a little over. The definition is improperly contextualized.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes we look at educated community as those with degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say that. To me, you are like priceless. So if we can get you involved in our institute as an advisor, teacher, something, yes, you are priceless. Like we like that to me, like, I don't, you don't even have, you could be, sis, you could have a GED. You don't even have a finish.
Hey, look at my book. I even wrote a book about it. I even wrote a book. This is how important education is.
We need you in the book. We need you. We have a bunch of mothers who and fathers who should be buying the book. We need you in our program. That's how I go off it, because I meet a lot of teachers. How do I word it? When I chose to go to school for astrophysics,
uh-huh.
I'm an atheist now, but I was deeply, devoutly religious.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about around with a suitcase, with Bible, Quran, the Talmud, the Bhagavad Gita, definition. And I was all like, let's build. That was me like, we're going to talk about all this.
So you went from one extreme to another. We need to get you in the middle here.
No, to me, I'm fairly in the middle. I think that's another kind. But for me, being an atheist is respectfully in the middle in the sense of my views now.
Uh-huh.
Why I say this is because what drove me to go to school for astronomy, what compelled me to educate myself was always black empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't taught to go to college.
Right, okay.
I went to college to look good because I was fighting a murder case. And then when I got in there and I was developing my perspective on black empowerment, it was
uh-huh.
like, yo, I see differently through this. Like, this is,
right.
I see differently. And so those who attach themselves to education is about you,
uh-huh.
yourself, like
mm-hmm.
you said, what caters to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a science head. I love tinkering. I love making things. I love understanding. That's what I have to understand about myself.
Mm-hmm.
When I chose to go to school for astronomy, my mentor didn't. I was like, look, God brought me here because I want to understand the universe. He thought I was crazy. I was like, no, I need to understand the universe so I can help my people.
Uh-huh.
That was still true then as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's looking at me like I'm crazy and I'm looking at all the other kids in his program as
right.
they're crazy, I'm like, they're here because they don't care about the community.
Right.
I'm here because I have to help my community out and I need to understand the universe so I can help my community out.
Right.
So when I failed algebra and trigonometry 5 times and that punk-ass teacher, Thomas, told me to quit.
Uh-huh.
And my mentor said, maybe this isn't for you.
Oh, wow.
And I had to sit back and I had to say, you know what? And praying told me to stop praying and said, praying's not going to work.
Okay.
You have to read the math book.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Back.
You got to put the work in. Yeah.
Then you got to acknowledge that you don't know shit about math and start from the beginning. And 3 months later,
you passed.
I passed the class. And so I was praying.
Uh-huh.
Praying really got me there. Like, it was like I prayed, and but I didn't realize that I was thinking my way through these easy tests.
Uh-huh.
You can do that with an associate degree, just so you know. You can think your way through an associate degree. If you're pretty smart, you can think your way through the associate degree. The information's not hard. You don't really need that high level of math. English 201 isn't really that difficult.
Okay.
You can have, so get a girl to help you out. Somebody, it's not, but them 300 level classes, the teachers are different at 300 level.
Oh, yeah.
No, 200, 300 level, everything changes.
Yes.
They give you the test up front. They're like, go ahead and cheat.
Yeah.
They're like, Dad, if you can cheat on this test, go ahead. You can sit with your friends because you're not passing this one. It's the cheat. You had to study to cheat.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different level at 300 level.
Yeah.
And the people who are at 300 level, they don't like 200 and 100 level people because they're not serious.
Nice.
They only want to be around people who are serious. Like, oh, you're wasting time.
Yeah.
And then if the people who don't got scholarships and who don't got financial aid,
right,
they really don't like nobody who's wasting time. They're looking at you like, why are you in the library if you're wasting? Why are you not here reading?
Right.
Why? And so all of that connected to this story I'm in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, like, I was recruited. This principal tried to recruit me for this school. And it's so funny. The gentleman who's teaching earth science there was the student I was talking about when I was in Mega Evers. And I was talking about him and these other dudes. I'm like, look, these dudes don't care about the community.
Right.
They're here for a job.
Yeah.
Why would you, like, NASA is not hiring none of you Negroes.
Right.
And if you want to get to NASA, y'all are not learning enough here to get to NASA.
Right.
Y'all are going to end up being a teacher or something. So we ended up being teachers. So the A1 student, A+, super, super student, he is at this school up the block from me.
Wow.
And the principal came to my location to recruit me.
Mm-hmm.
He thought I dropped out of college. And so I'm sitting in this dude's office, and he's like, yo, I just want to, because he saw me teaching biology here. He's like, yo, you got to see how I teach it. And so he's trying to recruit me. It's like, yo, I just want you in my school somehow. And I'm like, yeah, we make whatever. And the gentleman sitting across from me, he's like, yeah, I went to Mega Evers. I'm like, oh, I did too. I was like, what you study? He's like, astrophysics. I'm like, whoa,
wow.
Me too. He's like, oh, but I was like, I dropped out. He was like, oh, no, I got this scholarship, and I'm this student. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
So I know you badass. I failed. I didn't fail out. I dropped out because I didn't have the support, and I reached a level of intelligence where I didn't need the school anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So for me not having the support in my business endeavors and having to pay rent and not needing the school to where I needed it,
mm-hmm,
intellectually, it didn't get me here.
Right.
Maybe if I had the support, I could have got there, but my mentor wasn't pro-black. So he didn't understand me saying, I want to save the community.
Right.
He didn't understand. He thought giving me a scholarship money was good. And I'm like, bro, I can't afford my rent. My rent is $1,200 a month. I'm working at Banana Republic. I'm stealing vegetables and fruits from the nightstand. I'm hopping the train.
Okay.
I'm using my scholarship money to pay for school.
Yes.
I got $1,500, I'm like $4,000 in Con Edison bills. That's electricity.
Yes.
I can't stay in college. And then they didn't want to give me a loan
because
they were like, look, you're American. You get financial aid. Bro, my rent is the $1,200 a month.
Right.
$15,000 a year.
Right.
I don't make this. In 2002, I wasn't making $15,000 a year at Banana Republic. And that's only like, you know, like in Locker and Banana Republic, I wasn't getting that much. And if I was getting that much, I was working from 7 to 7 o'clock. So it was torture.
Yeah,
and it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then the teachers, the men are telling me, well, I did it in school. And I'm like, so why would I have to do the exact same thing as you?
Right.
Why didn't you make it easier for me?
Right. Exactly.
Why you got me buying this book when I can't afford it, and why would you create a class based off a book where the only way you can pass this class is if you bought this book?
Right.
So this is why my institute, we don't buy books. Everything's online because like, that makes no sense to you. If you don't have the book, you fail.
Right.
That's just that you don't care about how many people would say that.
Right. You're setting them up for failure because a lot of times you can't afford the $300 book, period.
Exactly. And then Mega Evers is not a black school. So I'm standing in front of Mega Evers in this non-black program, sent there to me by this religion that I swore was real,
and
then the school isn't black. And so I'm just in a space where, like, I got to get my...
You're looking like, why am I here? What's this all about?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
And I'm angry in the
classroom. Yeah.
And so I had a Harriet Jacobs class. I had an English class. And shout out, I'm part Caribbean. I'm a product of slavery. That's what I used to tell people all the time. That's what I still say. And I don't, whatever, I am who I am. And in this class, they were reading Harriet Jacobs' slave narrative at Mega Evans. And the class is all Caribbean. And so I start shaking in the class.
Wow.
Because if anybody's familiar with the Harriet Jacobs' slave narrative, especially the first chapters, she's talking about getting raped over and over and over and the experience of being raped. I could not take that. And I'm like, lady, we should not be reading this in this class.
Right.
And I stood up and the whole class is staring at me. And I'm like, lady, I don't know about y'all. My family's Black American.
Right. So that's
my
very
family,
true.
I don't know if y'all understand this, but this book is a tool to inspire me to hate my enemy. This is not a class. This is not a book based off exposing me to literature and doing a comparative analysis. It's just some random next book.
Right.
No, when I read about a sister of mine being raped by these white folks, it is to remind me of who they are and how to always treat them.
Right.
She says, you have so much hate in your heart. I said, lady, I'm in the whole class. I'm tearing up
right now.
Right. The class is asking me to stop.
That book is triggering you. They're not understanding that.
They don't understand. The class is asking me. Oh, yo, it's so funny because one of the sisters in the class is a councilwoman right now who swears she's for Black community. And I remember her wearing her weave in the class. And today I'm like, look, y'all, and I remember walking out the class, y'all are a bunch of coons.
Yeah.
Don't play with my hate.
Right.
My inspiration for my community is based off of love.
Right.
My respect for my enemy comes from a place of love for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't misplace my hate.
Right.
And so that school taught me so much. So in my institute, let me reintroduce you to myself again. Your children will be properly shown love.
Right.
And they will understand hate.
Right.
So when I teach them or one of us teach them about what happened to the indigenous people of America, I can't teach that lesson without calling white folks crackers and evil. I don't know if somebody gave somebody COVID right now, you would call, if somebody purposely coughed on a napkin or a piece of and gave it to you, that person would be called disgusting, evil, a murderer, and they would be charged with attempted murder.
Right.
Smallpox, if you don't know your history,
Come on.
Smallpox is one of the most heinous and vicious diseases that walk the planet.
Yeah.
Your skin boils with blood.
Yeah.
Your body internally develops bumps inside your organs.
Yes.
So on the outside of your skin, you have blood poking out of the pus in your skin. Entire body.
Yes.
If you ever got hives, you know hives is local.
Right.
You get hives in your chest, on your arms, in your face.
Right. But this is
smallpox.
All over.
Entire body.
Yes. And that's what they gave.
And then your eyes bleed out. That's when you know you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
When the blood vessels in your eyes, I told you, the organs develop the bump.
Mm-hmm.
Your eyes explode of blood, and you die out bleeding. This is what white folks purposely did to our indigenous Black people as they systematically raped them. And when I say white folks, I'm talking about Spanish. So anybody who comes from the Caribbean, I make them understand my love for my natives. I could never call you Spanish.
Right.
So I correct Caribbean people who want to call themselves Spanish.
Right.
Because I love my history.
Right.
I could never call you Spanish.
Right.
I could never call you Latin. Never. Wrong. Caribbean denotes the native people who were destroyed by the Latin people you so love.
Right, right.
So I can't say that. You know, it just, it'll never, ever be worded like that. You know, and so, yeah.
I am still so excited about this, and I'm just wanting us to understand how important it is for us to start teaching our own. I'm thinking that we need to do more shows like this to get it out there, to help us understand that it is time to change the narrative. We've been allowing our enemies, and I keep calling them that because that's, to me, that's what they are. And, you know, I know people say, well, there's some good white folk. Well, let me tell you something. For me, I've never met any because make them mad, and they're going to, all of that's coming out. So whatever. You call them good white folk if you want to. I know what to call them, and I'm going to keep calling them that because I see what they are, even when they smile it in your face, okay? But I want us to get to the point where we are changing our narrative. We need to own everything black. We now black. We need, you know, and I see, you know, Tariq and Nashari, okay, yes, I see the museum, but I also see a clinic for us. I also see Group Economics to build a clinic, build a hospital. Group Economics to build, like Claude Anderson said, his family owned in Winston-Salem a bus company. Okay, we need our own transportation. We have enough money in our communities to do this. It is time for us to stop depending 100% on enemies, and that's what we're doing. So now we're seeing, okay, immigrants coming in from the left, immigrants coming in from the right, and what they're going to do, they're going to replace you with their job, your job that you got. They're going to give it to the immigrants. Do you have a way of protecting yourself? Because when you go and apply for these jobs, who are they going to give them to? They're going to give them to their own, which is not you.
You know what's crazy, sis? I don't discuss this stuff with white folks, but you just gave me a way of articulating it to white people.
Okay.
The purpose of social studies,
because
I don't discuss it with white folks, but in a sense, I don't talk about nothing with white folks.
None.
But in the purpose of social studies, like you said, is to create a person who is profitable and can produce for society.
Right.
The school system cannot teach that. The black people has not taught that. And the mindset
right.
that's needed to make a profitable country.
Right.
If you want black people to continuously depend on you, white people.
Right.
Let me talk to white folk now that be watching.
Go ahead.
White folk, are you tired of black people having a bag on you? Are you tired of having to pay for welfare? Are you tired of black people ending up needing money when they get older? Stop educating black people. That's going to be, I've got a new marketing. You just gave me a whole new marketing campaign.
Woo! That's what it's about right there.
White people, are you tired of black people not getting enough money?
Right.
Are you tired of black people not cleaning up their community?
Right.
Are you tired of black people not understanding voting rights? Are you tired of black people not understanding politics?
Right.
Are you tired of black people not caring about the environment? Let them educate themselves.
Right. And that's what it comes down to. That right there.
You are educating us. That's the easiest answer. Your statistics prove it. All the STDs that we're bringing to white people, our drug hazards that we bring to white people, is because you educated us. The drug habits would have never got to your neighborhood. Let me use my different voice for Brad. Brad, you're watching this, Brad. All those niggers who are in your neighborhood committing crimes, robbing you, violating your rights, is because you chose to let white people educate the little nigglets. You need to tell black people, pick up your shoes and educate your own little nigglets. Yeah, because I think the coons would understand it if white people said it to them.
I love it.
I think the coons would understand it if white people said it. And I think if white people understood it, like, hold on. They were like, hold on, you telling me that I can make more money off you Negroes? If you Negroes torture hell better? Hold on. You telling me I make more money off you niggas if you niggas could teach yourselves? Oh, hell no.
Oh,
give these niggas some money and go let you educate your own damn self. Get the hell away from me. Here's
exactly.
some money. Go away.
Exactly.
I parent the South. I love the South because to me that's how white folks move in the South.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a respect. And now when I go to the South, black folks in the South, because y'all don't move like that. In New York, we can't move like that. They want us to be like this.
Right.
Why you don't want to dance? And the whites and the Mexicans right. and everybody. In the South, they don't respect you. And black people stop being scared to be on your square. I was just in Atlanta. And I was going to rent from this sister who's Ethiopian. And she did not want to rent it to me because she watched my lecture or my class teaching them that white people, the same thing I just told you about, mm-hmm. Native Americans. She watched that lecture.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Q, black children need to hear that. I needed to hear that. I've never heard that information. You taught me more than anything.
Wow.
But I don't want to rent to you because of your vitriol to white people.
Wow.
And I said, excuse me? I said, didn't you just get robbed by your last two tenants? And I'm offering to pay you for like half the year up front.
Right.
And we're going to fix up your space. And I'm going to help you with your credit. And we're going to help the community out. And the little kids who was playing in a dumpster in your backyard will no longer be playing in a dumpster in the middle of the night. And the kids that you've never spoken to, and the dope dealers who sit in front of your spot because you don't care about it,
yeah,
with all these chains, you don't want to help. Let me help them because of your affiliation,
yeah,
to whites.
Yeah, exactly.
Whites who've never come to Buckhead. Bankhead, not Buckhead. All y'all black folks moving to Buckhead. I'm talking about Bankhead.
Yeah.
We're black generation. If you're going to Atlanta, generational blacks is what I'm talking about. That's in Bankhead, and that's in College Park. That's in, on Metropolitan.
Yeah.
That's the East Point. That's where black folks are. Not in Lithonia, not in Jonesboro, not in Stone Mountain, not Atlanta.
That's right.
I don't, nobody's saying. And so the black folks in Atlanta are being completely systematically cut out,
yeah,
from all of this new money going to Atlanta.
That's right.
And it's just situations like this that just, you know, get me infuriated because these are black cities.
Right.
A lot of my black rhetoric does not make sense in Atlanta.
Right.
Because there's no white folks around. When I went to Pierce County, it was like, hold on. The school system's messed up. Like, hold on. We can use the school system if y'all just use the laws. And y'all just change the law. Why don't you change the law?
Right.
Why don't any of y'all, it goes back into where they let white people introduce them to this stuff. Right. So even then, they don't have the independent nature to apply themselves and approach that like that because they don't have the acumen for it. And so that independency, like you said, dependency, I think that just sent it in. You want independent or dependent Negroes?
Right.
That's what the world wants. What you want, world? You want independent or dependent Negroes?
They don't know what they want. They don't know what they want because when we're independent, then they call us, what, racist.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want, they don't know. They don't know what they want.
White people are scared and black people know the anger we have,
mm-hmm,
and why we have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think when we say racism, we're going to go on the street and start killing white folks.
Right.
When I say racism, I don't see you. Nature has already removed white people from the planet. This is a biological,
yes,
statement I'm making to you. So if you have a negative birth rate, this is basic biology, eventually your population dies off.
Right.
That's just math.
Right.
This is why when they have species that go into the endangered species, white people are an endangered species. They cannot make enough babies to supply,
right,
their birth, their population.
That's why they're using our men to supply in our women. Now, to help them to survive.
They're using us to get through there. They're using the womb or the penis to extend their life.
Exactly.
They know that they make a baby with me, that baby coming out looking like Drake.
But after two or three generations, it's going to look like them. If you continuously dating white.
Yeah.
And they're trying to white us out. But we have to understand what's happening. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's a fact. No, you're right. You are 100% right. And they... I've been saying this before COVID hit, so I think I'm the only one that's been saying it. COVID was one of the, I believe in COVID. I'm not going to say COVID was man-made. Nature has a way of dealing with accidents. So, for example, human ingenuity and human evolution, they say, is now connected to major volcanic eruptions where certain alpha particles were erupted from the ground. Or certain type of mutations come from asteroid impact.
Uh-huh.
So when an outside entity influences your environment, nature still sees that as nature.
Uh-huh.
So Chinese people playing with diseases in a lab, that's part of the human nature to play with things. That's no different than us taking food from this area and bringing it to an entire different environment.
Uh-huh.
That's no different than us taking melanin things from different plants,
mm-hmm,
and using it as treatments on our skin. This is the same mentality. So I don't see Chinese people playing with diseases as an issue because that's going to happen. We play with diseases. That's what humans do.
Uh-huh.
That's how we got here. That's not even a white thing. That's an African thing to try to play with foods, animals, to figure out ways to treat diseases. That is an indigenous thing that we've been doing for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
So don't play with Asian people. We've been doing that. Now, the disease itself, diseases are going to come about. We have to survive them. Now, the survivability against diseases is always based off of your birth rate. No matter what, your birth rate is the top tool to fight against all diseases, all ailments, all environmental pressures.
Mm-hmm.
Birth rate is the number one tool. When people were retarded in the sense of the word,
mm-hmm.
and were uninformed
mm-hmm.
in the early 1900s, it was the birth rate that made America survive. It wasn't information. It was information that forced people to stop making babies.
Mm-hmm.
So now, with this birth rate lowering, hold on 1 second real quick. I open the door.
I hope you guys are enjoying this conversation. I hope you guys are sharing, liking, and sharing, you guys. I appreciate everybody that's joined. I want you guys to like and share because we need to get the information out. If you ever made anything go viral, this right here should be going viral, family. This should be full, okay? This right here should be full because it is time for us to understand what it is going to take for us to survive. It's not going to take you, you know, you got men out here and, you know, you're having babies with white women. You got our sisters having babies and we dating white men and you're genociding yourself, family. You have to understand they need you to survive right now. Stop being crazy. Let's know what it's really about. We have to start educating our own in order for us to get through all of this right here, okay? We've had how many years of white folks teaching and training us? No. When they taught us and trained us, now they're getting ready to teach your children about how to masturbate, about LGBT, LNLP, QRST, okay? All the alphabets, they're getting ready to teach your babies. Now, what are we going to do about that? Are you going to just sit there and allow them to teach your babies about being nasty, which they already know, and they are, their kids are already doing it, okay? They've been raping their kids since forever. You're going to teach them? You're going to allow them to teach you, allow them to teach our babies now how to be nasty? What are we going to do about this? The choice is yours. We can sit up here and talk all day long, but it's going to be your decision. I'm going to give this brother last words. I want you to close us out, but I want you to give out information. How can they get in touch with you? How can they get in touch with the school? How, what? Give, I'm giving you the floor.
Right before I go on, I want to make sure we all, because us black folks, I want to be hype about this because the census just released that the white population has decreased by 8.6% in the last census.
Yeah.
And there is no physical ability to recover from the death losses found in COVID.
Right.
Italy has a birth rate of 0.89%.
Mm-hmm.
Italy lost 30,000 white people.
Mm-hmm.
It is mathematically impossible for them to replace those 30,000 people.
Right.
Spain lost 20 to 30,000 people.
Right.
No one has taken losses like whites.
Right.
Do not let them tell you about
right.
black people who suffered death in hospitals because of white malpractice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the reason why most black people who died from COVID were obese, had prior respiratory issues, and had a high faith in the medical system
mm-hmm.
and the practices being used. This is no different than what we have in heart disease. Most black people who die with heart disease are obese and take one with a doctor's remedy. The doctor's remedies, this is the white man's information. This isn't my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
White people have already did a study and found that the leading cause of death for black people is white doctors giving bad forms of treatment.
Right.
It's the same thing with IEPs, children with autism. Black children are underserved or over and underserved or improperly served because white doctors are not properly diagnosing.
Right.
Diagnosis is the biggest issue for black people. The white doctors are the people who are taking the babies out of black wombs.
Right.
Little Indian doctors, little white doctors who are going in there vacuum cleaning white black women's wombs
yeah.
and taking 35,000 black babies, 35,000 black babies a year in New York City, chopping them up inside of the woman's vagina mm-hmm. and vacuuming them out and then using whatever leftovers they can to sell it to whoever pharmaceutical company that they're allowed when you sign that contract to get that free abortion.
Right.
So this is the reality. So
yeah.
for me, everything and anything I do is about black empowerment. If you want to get in touch with me, you need to be able to say black first, black last, black only. If you're an indigenous person, whatever. If you're an African person, whatever. You don't want to say black, whatever. These are all words that I'm a scientist. They're all arbitrary to me. Don't really mean anything. We all talk about this. If
right.
you don't rep this and you don't put this first through last, so that's
right.
not good enough. So you might have a black person be the first 35 people mm-hmm. to fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
rob you and mess up. But that 36th black person is the one that you needed to become successful. But your punk ass gave up on number 35, and you went and got a white girl, and now you done let that go. That's why it's first through last. You go to little Dominican stores, and a Dominican person gets caught stealing in the store. They don't say, this is why I don't mess with Dominicans. They send their ass back to Dominican Republic. They beat them when they get them in the Republic. They send over another Dominican person. We have to learn this.
Right.
Chinese people, Vietnamese people, if a Vietnamese woman doesn't do the nails right and don't listen to the manager, they're going to spit her ass right back in a barrel to Vietnam, and they're going to send a whole other chick from Vietnam in a barrel over here.
Right.
They're not going to go say, oh, let me go get that black lady to do a nail.
Come on
now. Let me go find me another Vietnamese lady. And that's what it is. Cooperative economics, group economics is the key to economics. Right. That is, every society understands that. The only tool for empowerment is education.
Right.
There's no getting around that. The way you probably view education is was taught to you by a white person or somebody who's black who learns like a white person or wasn't effectively taught how to look to educate a person. You are our greatest opportunity. You're mine. You don't have to enroll in my school, my institution, but you need to do something for your black mind to make sure your legacy is being turned into something that's going to be furthering your legacy. You don't further your legacy by leaving life insurance money. You further your legacy by making sure that your legacy can take care of themselves. They have the educational tools to take care of themselves. They have the proper reference for themselves and their education. Because that insurance money you're planning on leaving them, they're more than likely going to get high with their friends, buy a bunch of clothes, and spend it off within 1 year. I've seen it. My family's pretty old in America, so my mother's side of the family is old. So this insurance game stuff, this Negro stuff, if you want your family to be gay, go ahead. Just know that that's your bloodline that's being knocked off.
Right.
That's just what it is. So you got white people telling your son to go ahead and be gay.
Right.
Black man,
right.
That's the end of your bloodline.
Yes.
Mother. That's a whole generation that will be stopped. That's your choice. If you want to raise whatever, just know that this is what it means. For me, I'm about black empowerment. If you're about black empowerment, you can contact us at ZyxInstitute.org, ZyxTheMovement.org. That is a black word. What does it mean? It means whatever the hell I want to say it means today because we made it up. Right now, it means black empowerment. It means dedicating to yourself. It's a word like love and hate. You define it through the attributes. So the attributes of a Zyaxian, that sounds weird. You got to be about black empowerment. You have to be about mastery of your craft. You got to be about fighting. You got to be about pushing. You got to be. Those are the core elements. It's about who you are inside. And that's really what I want to drive this conversation to, who you are. I may not be your option. You may look at me, the hat to the back. I ain't got my gold teeth on right now. He got locks. My hairline's kind of pushed back. But I don't like this guy. Find someone you do like that's about black empowerment. Yeah. Black empowerment is about making us be responsible for ourselves so that way we can be able to sustain ourselves and take care of yourself. The same way you teach your child to tie their shoe is the same way the black community needs to pull up our shoes and tie our shoes so we can take care of ourselves. If you want to donate and support, GoFundMe, Zyx, Cash App, Zyx the Movement. If you want to enroll in our program, the sign-up link is Zyx Institute/enroll now. If you want to volunteer, Zyx Institute/volunteer now. If you want to, whatever you want to help us out, you want to bring Zyx to your city, just hit me up, with a message. You can contact us at the ZyxInstitute@gmail.com or ZyxMovementCorp@gmail.com. Black power.
I love it. I love it. And I really do appreciate you coming on to giving us another way of doing things. Without the information, it's all about information. If you don't know, you can't do any better. But once you know, you do better. Once we know, we can do better. Now, if you sit here and make excuses, family, and keep making excuses like, oh, my God, we can't do this. We can't white folk this and the other. It's not about, you know what? We're in the position right now because of us. It's not about white folk any longer. It is because we won't come together and do group economics and build our new black reality. We have to build our own. We've been relying on enemies for so long, it's almost like we don't know how not to depend on them. You depend on them for water. You depend on them for the EBT now. You depend on them for Section 8. You depend on them for everything. They're getting ready to cut all of that out. And what are you going to do? You should never have your enemy 100% over you. It is time for us to learn how to be in charge of us. We built this. Remember that, family. We built all of this. So now they have you so lethargic that you don't know how to build nothing. Come on. You can't even build a chicken coop now.
Can I please recruit you, please? Like, I'm looking for a dean. I don't know what your availability is, but we need a dean. And I would please, like, if we can have you on the board, I'm literally on camera. To get this interview, I'm begging you on camera. Can you anyway?
Any service, anyway, I'm available. I'm available any day, anytime.
I'm looking at anybody. We're looking for two deans this year. I need an assistant principal, whatever you want to call it. But I can see you having the teachers. You have the teachers underneath you and the whole school. And I literally have this conversation. You could be like your principal. We're splitting it into two schools. You'll have 120 kids in your school, and you have 7 to 10 teachers underneath you, and you'll be coordinating, and I'll have a coordinator who works with you, and your job is to make sure the teachers are keeping the mission on point, you talk to the parents, and you help make sure that I'm not looking like an idiot, and your energy will help make sure everybody takes it serious. Like, I didn't know who you was when you hit me up. We never spoke, but your energy is so beautiful, sister. I am begging you. I need my children. You like once a week, like you can just talk to them once a week, however we figure it out.
You have my number. You have my number. I am at your service.
Yes, please. You're a principal. Look, y'all, she's a principal. You're welcome. Looking at one of the new principals at Zyx, the interim Zyx. And if you don't agree that she should be a great principal, I don't know. I can already see you. Yes, because I have to have a staff meeting right now. And I want you to join our staff meeting if possible. Like, we really want you involved. Like,
Give me the link. I'll be there. I'm getting ready to end this right now. But I am so appreciative of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate the love that you have for Black people. So I know you're busy. I will be in touch. If you want me at your staff meeting, I'll be there. We'll talk. I have your number.
Thank you.
But I appreciate you. I appreciate you, my brother, for going for babies. Because who else is doing it right now? We appreciate you. We bow to you. We love you. And we thank you. But I am going to let you off the air now. Thank you so much. And we will be in touch. Thank you so much.
Yes,
peace. Peace, peace. Family, thank you so much for joining. I put his information in the comments. It is your time, you guys. This is our time to grow and to fly and to show them what we are made of. We can do this, but it's going to take more than one brother to do it. One brother can't do it. We need 15. We need 1,000 of him. We need at least 10 of him. We cannot do this without you. We cannot do this, okay? So if you are interested, I have left information in the chat, okay? I've given his this is his institute, okay? This is his school. And you guys have got to do what you have got to do, okay? Because we cannot do it by ourselves. It is going to take us doing it, and we can no longer wait for white people to do it for us. Look around you. You see the mess that they've made. You see the educational system. You see our babies graduating and can't read. You see them going from schools to prison. They coming into schools and they handcuffing our Black babies. Who handcuffs a six-year-old because they have an attempted tantrum when they diabolical babies blowing up schools? They blowing up, shooting up schools, shooting up Walmart, shooting up sex brothels. Come on. But you mean to tell me that they're going to come in and arrest and put handcuffs on my six-year-old? Are you serious? And you're okay with this? And nobody is hitting the fan. Nobody is outraged. Nobody is saying anything. Nobody. Everybody is like, okay, we're cool. We're good. No, that is unacceptable behavior, family. And we will no longer stand for that. It is time for us to change our mindset. The ones that want to go, let's go. The ones that want to be coons and you want to stick under Master, thinking Master got you, then you stay because you're not a good fit for B1 anyway. So I know we don't get them. I know we won't get them all. But guess what? I want to get most of them. But the ones that want to go, let's go. But the ones that don't, we don't need you anyway, okay? Because your heart is not where it needs to be anyway. So until you get your heart to be B1 first and get your mindset right, You stay over there and watch us grow and watch us run the world, because we made this right here, and we going to come back to where it is we need to be, and that's be one, and that's black first. Just like we built this before, they tore it down, we can do it again. So it is up to you. If you want to change anything, it is going to be up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to you, because I know that we can come together and we can change our mindset and we can do this. I want to continue introducing my book to you guys, okay? What? It's a mother's love. This is my baby. This is my book. It took me 20 years. And you know what we talk about? It's 150 pages in here. But guess what? It's helping you to change your mindset. It's about parenting. It's about disciplining. It's about teaching our babies how to be future leaders. You guys, if you guys knew my girls, you'd be like, oh, my God. Yes, they were required to do college degrees. Yes, but guess what? One has her own business. Three of her own businesses, which is great. She calls her own shot. She's the boss. Okay, and I'm so proud of them. But guess what? Each one of them had their own. This was an option, college, and they did it. They weren't allowed to go to the service because I will not send my children into fighting for a country that hates you. And for us black folks, we're sending our babies to fight for America. Are you crazy? You are sending your child to die for oil. You're sending your child to die for what? For a country that don't like them? They're fighting for another country's freedom. When they come back, and they're not free themselves. Does that make any kind of sense to anybody? That makes no sense to me. So until you free your own self, I will not send my child to fight for a country, another country's freedom. We're not free here yet. That makes no sense to me. I'm sorry. But I know I get hyper and I get into it, but I appreciate everybody that came to join me, and even people that's going to come after this video is done, this live is done. Thank you for joining. I hope you hit the like and share button. I hope you share it, and I hope you hit the bell so that you can come on the next time. We are here every Tuesday at 11:30, right, family, at 11. And I appreciate everybody that joined. Jasmine, thank you. Job well done. Thank you so much. I'm seeing this other name here, Perceptions. A Perception, how about that? I'll just call you that. Thank you for joining. But I want us to get busy. I want us to get our minds together. I want us to, when you see a project going like this institute, and when you see, we need hospitals, we need clinics, group economics. If somebody on here is good with coming together to build a clinic, come on, let's build that clinic. I got my first $100. I'm just saying. I got my first $1,000. We have to do group economics in order to get things done. We cannot and we will not any longer wait for somebody else to do it for us, because we got this, right? We built this, we got this, and we can do this. With that said, family, have an amazing day on purpose, and we will see you here next Tuesday at 11:30, and thanks for joining. Peace, family. Peace, peace, peace. Love Talk, I hope you enjoyed that. It was amazing. I thank you for joining. I hope you guys will tune in next week to see. We're going to continue talking about education. I'm going to try to get a NOI person on here, okay, which is the Muslims, okay. We're going to try to get them on. So hopefully you'll be able to join us next Tuesday at 11:30, and I do appreciate Blog Talk for coming on, and I appreciate all that you do for us and have done, Blog Talk. You continue doing you, and you continue making things happen, and I really appreciate